do a conference with Pastor Faustin in Rwanda. Bear Creek Bible Church became partners with Dr. Faustin and TL Africa. But even though he runs this growing and large ministry in East Central Africa, his most significant relationship, of course, is his wife Salome, who's here with us as well, along with their sister-in-law Salome, both having the same names. And so welcome to Bear Creek Bible Church. We're very happy that you're here. Let's hear it for those ladies. Welcome. And so Dr. Faustin has, come on up, he has four children and four grandchildren, and we're very happy to be displaying the Rwandan flag next to Kenya and, ironically, Ukraine. So welcome to you for being here at Bear Creek Bible Church. We're very happy you're here, and we're looking forward to hearing your message again. I heard it in the first service. You're in for a treat. So go for it.
I've not shared this with Pastor John, my friend, but John, in 2002, my friend from Dallas Seminary, you know him, Dr. Richard Ramesh, he invited me to speak in a conference in a small country next to South Africa. It's called Mozambique. And I was speaking about a reconciliation. And, you know, they speak Portuguese. I was speaking in English, and they had an interpreter who was speaking in Portuguese. So when I introduced myself, my interpreter didn't hear correctly what I said, because I said, I'm married to one wife and we have four children. And my interpreter didn't catch it where he said, I'm Faustin, I'm married to four wives and you have one child. So I'm married to one wife, Salome. Salome, stand again, please. Yeah. And together the Lord has blessed us with four children. Two live in Kenya and two live here in the US. I came to know Bear Creek through our daughter who is in Kela actually. And the Lord has blessed her with four grandchildren. It's a blessing. And then every time we come to the US, we stay at in my brother-in-law's place. I have my brother-in-law, Daniel. He's an elder. He founded the church in the diaspora for Africans. It's called the Grace Church for All Nations. It's in Fort Worth. And so I'm with his family, and I'm very grateful to his wife because she takes care of us, especially me when Salome is not there, you know, and she gives us the car to use, and she's here. Please arise. Please arise. Yeah, let's have a seat. Yeah. And then I have my nephews there behind. My nephews? Yeah, my nephews, yeah. Yeah, and church, from the bottom of my heart, we want to appreciate you so much for sending Pastor John and Brother Jim to come and train pastors and their wives. It was an amazing conference. But I really want to thank Pastor John and his family for the courage that you had to send Pastor John and the Brother Jim during the time of COVID-19 when people were afraid to make such a move. It was a move of courage and faith in us, faithfulness, and I want to thank God for that. Yeah. Our scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Philippians 4, verse 2 to 3. The Bible says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Some pages before then. He writes and says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. And the Holy Spirit of the living God, we pray that you will help us so that your word may sink down into our hearts, so that we may understand the liberating power of forgiveness, especially the one that we have encountered at the cross of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Salome and I have been together for the last 36 years. And I want to appreciate her that all these 36 years she's been very gracious to forgive me when I've offended her. But I've noticed that when I offend her, of course she's a human being. She has emotions. She's not happy. She's angry. And when she's angry, her heart is sick. She needs healing. But me too, as a Christian and someone trying to be a good husband, when I offend her, I'm not at peace. I'm guilty. I feel some shame. My heart is also at peace. My heart needs healing. And so both of us are sick. When does healing come? Healing comes when I go to her and say, Cherie, we speak French, which means, honey, I've offended you, please forgive me. And when I see Salome smiling and say, I forgive you, then she is healed and I'm also healed. So forgiveness is a liberating power for both the victim, in this case her, and the offender. And this message really is powerful in my life personally because of three stories that I would like to share with you. The first story is very important because it shows how I was forgiven at the cross of Jesus. And I share with you how first time my earthly dad was preparing me to be a priest to the ancestors. But God, my heavenly Father, in his sovereign way, he changed me into a priest of the living God. How did this happen? I was born in a family of 8 children, and I was the 7th child. And for reasons I don't know, my dad loved me so much. My dad used to sacrifice to ancestors. And so he was training me so that I could be his heir. And so time to time, we would slaughter a goat, and I was the one to lay hands upon it before it was killed. That was a sign of dedication of the goat to the ancestors. And after slaughtering the goat, my dad would roast some meat and put some in a small hut behind our main house. So my dad and others believed that the ancestors lived in that small hut where they would put meat. And so I and some young boys would see when dad was not around, would sneak in the hut and eat the meat. So when my dad would come and find the meat gone, he would call me and say, son, come and see, the ancestors have eaten the meat. Of course, I would keep quiet so that it doesn't beat me up. So that continued for several years. But one time my dad got sick, and my mom called other priests, and they sacrificed a big bull. And despite that, my dad passed away. My mom was very disappointed. And she began to think about this whole issue of sacrificing to ancestors and its effectiveness. As my mom was wrestling with these philosophical questions, missionaries from the conservative Baptists came to the village. They preached the gospel, and my mom understood that it's not the ancestors who are mediators between man and God, but Jesus. And my mom gave her life to Christ. And I tell you, my mom's transformation was radical. She changed without turning back. And she loved the Word of God. She had good pastors who discipled her. This is the woman who raised me in the ways of the Lord. A giant of faith. She would take me to church. When I was a teenager then, I said, well, it's good to sing. And I enrolled in the choir. I tell you, my bass was amazing. I would sing and people would enjoy. But you know, the singing was here, but nothing was in Christ, in my heart about Christ. And so time came when I said, well, I want to be baptized. I enrolled for baptism classes, you know. And then time came for baptism. Now, on the day of baptism, that was December 1978. The preacher on that day spoke from 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, behold, everything is new. When he made the altar call, I examined my life, and I found that Faustin, although I was going to be baptized into water, I was still an old creation. That day, I asked God to forgive my sins. I gave my life to Christ. I became a new creation. My sins were forgiven, and I felt great joy. I was liberated. Thus, I can say that forgiveness is a liberating power. Now, it's an amazing grace for me when I think about the whole story to see how my earthly father was preparing me to be a priest to the dead spirits. But God delivered me, and in his sovereign, he changed me into a priest of the living God. Hallelujah! The second story, friends, it's about forgiveness being a liberating power for the victim. And I want to share the story of my mom. I told you about this giant of faith, my mom. She died in 2016, but I tell you, she left a legacy. When she received Christ, she followed Christ without turning back. But 1 year after she received Christ, my mom went through a very serious trial because four of us, her children, were given poison. Poison is a chemical that you drink in a food, then it develops in the stomach, you get sick, and eventually you die. It was myself, my young brother, my older brother who was engaged, and my older sister who was engaged, ready to be given to her husband. We all got sick. We took herb medicine, and it only worked for me, because others would not throw out. And so on a Monday, my young brother passed away. On Wednesday of the same week, my older brother passed away. I didn't see the body of my two brothers because I was down too. And on Friday of the same week, my older sister passed away. God gave me grace to go and see the body of my sister. I've written the story in the book that's out there. But I remember my mom very tired with red eyes. Oh my goodness, very, very tired. And she went to the body of my sister, who was her daughter. Remember, my dad had passed away before. And in Africa, women do not speak at the funeral. But my mom was this courageous woman. She raised her hand and said, "Elders, please allow to say something." And they allowed her to speak. My mom would speak and pause. She said, "Friends, I know those who have killed my children, and I have a solution for them." So everyone came closer because they want to hear the solution. They thought my mom was going to say, "I'm going to send thunder to kill them. I'm going to revenge." But that was not the case. After mom paused, she said, "Last year, I received Christ who died on the cross. And he forgave my sins." And my mom paused. Then she said, "Because of Christ, I forgive those who have killed my children." And people said, she's out of her mind. She doesn't know what she's saying. Friends, my mom went through the normal grieving. It was difficult, but she had purpose in her life to forgive those who had killed her children. and that gave her peace. My mom lived a life of legacy in matters of reconciliation and mediation, because everyone in the village knew her story and they knew her heart to bring people together and to preach about forgiveness. And my wife and I, every time we would go back to Rwanda, she lived in Congo, we would cross the border and go to Goma in Congo. And when we would meet her, she had two messages to us. She said, "My children, you remember what I did to those who killed your siblings?" And I would say, "Mom, I know." I would tell her, "Mom, you forgave those who killed my siblings." My mom would look into my eyes and say, "Son, always forgive. Always forgive." And then my mom would pause. And my mom would say, "Son, I don't know those countries that you visit preaching the gospel, whether Kenya or the US or wherever." But she would look into my eyes again and say, "Son, the Lord spared your life for a purpose." And my mom said, "Son, always serve the Lord. Always serve the Lord." My mom was a giant of faith. I don't want to go into details, but I want to tell you that my mom knew that Salome and I would not bury her. Because 4 years before she died, she started prophesying that we would not bury her. And that happened because she died when we were here in San Antonio. And the crossbridge wanted to fly us back. But, it was late because Congo does not have a way of preserving bodies. But my mom had told us that we would not bury her. And that helped us to be healed even emotionally. My mom was my hero in the ministry of reconciliation. She forgave those who had killed her children. And one day I had an interview with her and said, "Mom, how did you do that?" She looked at them and smiled and said, "Son, it was not me, but the power of God in me." Hallelujah! By the power of God in us, we are able to forgive those who have offended us. Forgiveness is a liberating power for the victim. The third story that I want to share with you is the story of the offenders being forgiven. And I want to speak about the genocide. The genocide in Rwanda was a terrible time of spiritual warfare that I've never experienced. And some of you ask yourself about Rwanda. We live together as three tribes and we intermarried and so on and so on. But during colonization, people were given different identification cards, and there was division again. And people, burned the houses of others. Others fled. And then 30 years, they came back with war. And for 4 years, there were negotiations. Then the presidential jet was shot down. And then the killings began, And so Salome and I were in Kigali during that time. For 100 days only, 800,000 people, almost a million of people were killed. Unfortunately, killed by their neighbors. And killed by people, so-called Christians, who would go to church. My wife and I and our children, we spent 26 days hidden under the bed for the fear of being killed. It was a very, very difficult time. Even when we would pray, we would feel heaviness in our prayer. Because of the blood being shed. And one night, the Lord revealed to me that I should leave. I had a dream, and the Lord was saying, you leave this place. And I shared it with Salome. She said, "No, if we go, it's very dangerous." And I said, "Let's pray again." And we prayed. And the following day, someone came, and he confirmed that this place would experience a terrible battle, and it was very dangerous. And indeed, that's what happened. After we left, all the people who were there were killed. So I took my Bible, only my Bible, and Solomon and the children, we began the journey. People were walking, bombs falling. When we reached the first barricade, the block, because the country was controlled by militia, there was no government. My fellow pastor was taken down and he was killed, and we continued with his family. When we reached the second roadblock that was controlled by other militia, They stopped my wife and identified her. A militia had a gun. He went around her. And he said, "Show me your ID." My wife showed the ID. And this militia threw it down and said, "Go and die in the hands of someone else." I knew that God was protecting my wife and my entire family. As we continued, before we reached the terrible roadblock where bodies were piled upon bodies, we were wondering how we would cross that place. But God was in control. He was watching over us. A military vehicle came. And a woman in the army, who was a major, she said, "Stop the car. I know this man. He is a preacher. He preached the gospel when I was there." It's true that I was preaching everywhere in Rwanda. But when did I preach when that woman was there? I don't know. God used this woman to save us. And so he says, "Stop." Say, "Pastor, come with your family." Among thousands, my family was identified. Which showed that actually God just used this woman. And they went into the military vehicle. I can't describe the things we saw. It was really terrible. And so after the genocide, I don't want to go into details. I was involved in the ministry of healing and the reconciliation. In fact, there is a time I came to the Eastern Mennonite University in New Jersey to be trained in trauma healing. I myself and Salome went through trauma healing. It was traumatizing, and we helped others go through healing. But you know what? The healing power was mainly in forgiveness. When people would confess what they had done, bring that to the cross of Jesus, they would be liberated, they would be healed. And later on, that ministry grew up, and we would even experience people who had committed atrocities and who were in jail, ask for them to be released and go back to the village, at least to ask for forgiveness. They would go and face the families of those they killed and say, "Please forgive us." And after they are forgiven, they would say, "Hallelujah, even if I die, but I am forgiven." Because they would be liberated. Then they go to finish their sentence in jail. We have seen that. People who have offended the offenders being liberated by asking for forgiveness. But I've also seen that through our leadership trainings. Pastor Cunnings, I was visiting him 2 weeks ago. He's the pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston. He's brother-in-law to Dr. Tony Evans. And for the last 20 years, he has been leading teams to come and train, just like Pastor John did. And in 2015, he was facilitating a conference, and I was speaking about reconciliation, and I shared the story of my mom. And then I felt the Lord leading me to do an altar call. But how do you do an altar call to pastors and bishops? But I had to obey anyway. And I obeyed. I made an altar call. And many pastors came forward, and Pastor Cunnings came to pray for them. They were kneeling down. And then we sang a Kinyarwanda song, and people went back to sit. But one pastor was kneeling down, and he was crying. And he whispered to me and said, "Dr. Foster, it's not enough for me. I want to make a public confession." I asked everyone to sit, and he stood up. And I said, "Friends, when Pastor Foster spoke about forgiveness and gave the example of his mom, I was planning in my heart to harm my bishop." And his bishop was there. He was planning to harm him. They had conflict in the church. And he said, "Bishop, please forgive me." And the bishop came and he hugged him. This man was forgiven. And he went back with joy. And later on, he kept telling me, "Thank you so much for what you did, because you helped me confess, the sin in my heart. And when the bishop forgave me, I felt great joy in my life." Friends, forgiveness is a liberating power, not only for the victim, but also for the offender. Now, let's go to the Bible and the place where we've read and have some few lessons before we finish. Number one, Paul is speaking about a conflict between two ladies who are actually believers. And in fact, they were ministers with Paul. But they were in conflict. We don't know who was the offender and who was the victim, but they were both in conflict. And as I said, whether victim or offender, their heart needed healing. And so conflict will always be there, friends. The issue is, how do we deal with conflict? Of course, when there's conflict, we need to forgive each other. But also, I want to tell you that conflict, if well managed, can lead to great transformation. Those who are married, you know, you can know. We are always, you know, in conflict with one another, in small things. But, you know, when we forgive one another as married couples, then, you know, there is transformation that takes place in our lives. In the church, in the workplace, we always experience conflict. But if conflict well managed, it can really lead to transformation, where people can examine themselves, they can humble themselves, they can go to the Lord in prayer and ask strength to either forgive or be forgiven. The second lesson, I enjoyed Greek because I speak French. You know, for those who speak French, Greek is easier. Hebrew, John, it was very, very difficult for me, you know, writing from left to, you know, right to left. It was very difficult for me, but Greek, I enjoy that. Well, you know, the verb to forgive has a root with two other words. One is joy, kara, and grace. And for me, that's very significant because, you know, when we have bitterness and anger, or shame and guilt, unless we forgive, or unless we ask for forgiveness, we cannot experience the fullness of joy of Jesus Christ in our life. And so there is a need for us to forgive. There is a need for us to ask for forgiveness so that we may experience the full joy of Christ in our life. But also the relationship with grace. You know, forgiveness is not something that you buy. I didn't pay anything for Christ to forgive me when I received Him. No, He paid it all. I didn't pay anything. It's grace. When we forgive, we give a gift to someone who does not deserve it. And so forgiveness is actually an unconditional gift that we give to the person that we forgive, and that person does not deserve it. And the third lesson is that when we read Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, forgiving one another, really, the verb is in a continuous form, whereby, you know, we should forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, which means forgiveness should be a pattern for us believers. We need to embody forgiveness in our daily life. It's not that if yesterday I forgive and then today I can't forgive. No. And we need to forgive because it's important for our relationship with God our Father too. And number four, although my mom was a giant of faith and in the ministry of forgiveness, but you know what? My mom is not the right model. My right model is Jesus Christ. So I should forgive as the example of how God forgave me in Christ. When God gave His only Son. Now, for us, we are even sinners. But Christ, you know, He bore our sins for nothing. And so, our model of forgiveness is really in God forgiving us in Christ. And for that reason, too, we find that, you know, it's grace. Because it was unconditional. You know, God loved us before we even thought about it. It's unconditional. Some people think that probably to forgive someone is to wait until the person asks for forgiveness. No, no. See, if Brother Jim, someone from Rwanda offends you, said, no, I will wait until I meet that person asks for forgiveness, you know, you'd be drinking poison that will kill you. Think that it will kill that person. That's why we need to forgive unconditional. There is no condition for us to forgive. It's for our spiritual well-being, but also even for our emotional well-being. People are going to doctors and, oh, I'm having blood pressure and so on. And when you go to the story of these people, they are harboring bitterness and anger, which are then affecting their hearts. So forgiveness is just a gift that we give to someone. It's unconditional. And the other lesson is that sometimes we say, oh, forgive and forget. Now, it's very important. You know, our mind remembers. My mom would remember those who had killed her children. But you know what? She would not be bitter because she had let it go. So our mind works and remember those who had offended us. But because you have let it go, then it's no longer a burden. So my mom would just laugh and pray for the families of those who had killed her children because of the power of the cross. But she would still remember, although she would not be hurt. And the other lesson is that forgiveness is a must. You know, reconciliation may not be a must because sometimes we can separate, you know, and we don't come together again, although it's important. But forgiveness is a must because if we don't forgive, then how can we even be in a relationship with God the Father in our day-to-day life? We need to forgive one another. It's very, very important. It is a must. Now, of course, as Christians, once forgiveness has taken place, which is the case for these two women, reconciliation must be there so that we may again live together. Reconciliation means that relationship that is restored. So the forgiveness is at the heart level, but reconciliation is now the relationship between people. But remember, without even forgiveness, reconciliation would be difficult. It would be political, you know. Sometimes I see politicians hugging each other, you know. But they are doing that to show. But it's not, that doesn't come necessarily from the heart. But for us Christians, reconciliation should come from the heart. That's why forgiveness is very, very important. And finally, if the person does not want to even reconcile or ask for forgiveness, leave the person to God. Then the Lord would deal with that person. I have a few applications that I want to make. You know, sincerely speaking, remember my story. You may have been coming to church and you enjoy the singing, you know, a good music here. You enjoy Pastor John's sermons, but maybe you have not given your life to Christ. Today could be a day that your sins could be forgiven. If you don't have a relationship with Christ today, Christ can forgive your sins. He gave his life so that you can be forgiven, that you can have life. Life in abundance and eternal life. But number two, you may have been offended and may have developed grudge and anger and bitterness. Your heart is sick. You need to be liberated. And that liberation comes when you forgive those who have offended you. And so today, please don't go home when you are still harboring anger and bitterness, but ask God to give you a power to forgive those who have offended you. God will give you grace, the same grace that he gave to my mom. But also, you may have offended others, and the Holy Spirit can give you power and courage to go and ask for forgiveness. You may have even offended God, you know, through sin. God is ready to forgive you because there is no sin that he can't forgive. His blood has still power to wash us our stains. And this is a message that we need to keep sharing with the world, that Christ has power to forgive their sins and give them eternal life. The Lord bless you and keep you. Forgiveness is a liberating power, not just for the victim, but also for the offender. God bless you.